My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks for being here. Hour number two. If you missed any parts of hour number one, definitely encourage you to give that a listen. And that is up right now. The audio portion is already up at the website, chosengenerationradio.com. You can download that on your favorite podcast, TuneIn or iTunes or Deezer, Spotify, Podchaser, Podcaster. There's a whole bunch of them. But just go to the Listen tab and you'll be able to listen to it. And then once I get off air, then we start putting up the video recordings as well, and we'll have that up for you as well. All right. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. She is Money Talk with Melanie, and I want to welcome to the program my good friend Melanie Collette. Melanie, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's so many different things that we can unpack and get into. I think a lot of the buzz is getting people's opinions with regards to the issue of the Speaker of the House and what happened with that yesterday, and the stand that Matt Gaetz would. Now, I'll just let you know, I'm standing with Matt. I believe that it was appropriate for there to be a change. McCarthy was not doing what he promised that he would do. We don't have border security. We don't have line item decisions when it comes. There were 12 different financial issues that needed to be addressed, and he didn't bring them to a vote. Instead of bringing him to a vote, he put everybody out on recess. And so that forced the crisis of another continuing resolution, which means, again, funding the entire government all over again, another $2 trillion in debt. And you and I talked about what's going on with regards to BRICS. We talked about what's happening with regards to us losing the petrodollar. So if we don't get our financial house in some semblance of order, there's a very, very, very serious problem. Let me.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Okay. So I'll tell you. I don't love any time we're doing party infighting, especially out in the public and on the Congress floor. I don't love that at all. We have a 5-seat swing, something like that.
Call your doorbell camera company and cancel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
No. Go ahead.
We have a five. Seat swing, and we have this far right wing of the party that is not very cooperative. I understand why they're not cooperative. They're standing for the right thing, but it's kind of like, if you don't have the votes, you don't have the votes. You know what I mean?
No.
You can't. I'll tell you what it's similar to. So here in New Jersey, it's a pretty blue state. There's some sections that are red, right? But it's basically
New Jersey is Sodom and Gomorrah. I know. I've had four individuals that are running for office there, and we've talked about it. New Jersey is Sodom and Gomorrah.
Now
okay?
You have five.
Yeah,
I'm running for office too.
All right. I'm just telling you, New Jersey is Sodom and Gomorrah. New Jersey kills babies.
I agree.
At 9 months and beyond, legally, they murder infants. There's blood. Every canal in New Jersey is filled with baby blood and literally with baby body parts. Literally. Because they dump the baby's blood and body parts into the sewer. And it then goes into the water. And then in addition to that, they also are the number one state for sodomy in the nation.
Not surprised. But here's what I will say. From a political, knowing that, right, from a political perspective, how difficult do you think it is for someone to win a statewide election here? You cannot be a far right wing.
What is what is far right? Melanie, describe. Hang on. Describe for me what is because what you're saying is if you stand for God, for traditional family values, that's far right.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's far right.
Okay, well then, what is far right? What does it mean? What does far right mean?
I will say this from a legislative perspective, which of I want to make clear that I disagree with.
It doesn't matter. Your vote, if you vote for it, then you agree with it.
So the Republican candidates, most of them, I mean, I guess you could have an independent. If you have a choice between a Republican candidate and a Democrat candidate who believes a Democrat candidate who believes in abortion, like you said, up to 9 months, hell, after the kid's born, right? Or you have a Republican. Now, I have noted one of the first things I do when I see Republican candidates is I go to their Facebook page and I want to see if they're pro-life. Okay. I will tell you, usually what happens is in a statewide election, they don't have a position on life, which means that they either don't want to talk about it or they're low key pro-life, but they're not going to be banging the pro-life drum because you can't. I shouldn't say you can't, because it's very difficult to win a statewide election on that platform. Now, where I live in Cape May County, in Legislative District 1 and Congressional District 2, absolutely. All of our legislators are for life. So, but in a statewide election, it's tough. And so I said that to say, not to quote Chris Christie, but I recall him saying this once, you can't make change if you don't win. You gotta win. So, let me
speak to you from somebody who's in their 60s, and who watched the transformation of his home state. That thought process is what flipped California from red to blue.
Is it?
100%.
Really?
Because the push became, the buy-in became, well, you can't take this stance, and you can't take this stance, and that's too far, and public opinion. And here was the kicker. We voted in California three times for a constitutional amendment that marriage was to be between a man and a woman. Three times it was the will of the people. And the first time out, it was like over 60%, 60, 65%.
And okay. What happened? The governor vetoed it?
The liberal judiciary overturned it.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm absolutely serious. The liberal judiciary deemed it to be unconstitutional.
California Supreme Court or U.S. Supreme Court?
California.
And they didn't take it any further? But it was
a state law. So it went all the way up. And the third time that we voted in favor of it, it went all the way to the California Supreme Court. And the California Supreme Court ruled that it was an unconstitutional amendment to the California state constitution. And even though three times the majority of the people in the state had voted for it. Now, how did the politicians respond? The politicians responded by saying exactly what you're saying. Well, you know, we'll wait till we get into... Well, guess what? That's how Willie Brown took over California. That's how Edward Brown became the governor And that's how the Browns took over California. That's how the Democrats took over California. I'm speaking from someone who knows. And I've talked repeatedly with representatives. As a matter of fact, Karen England with Capital Research, who has been fighting this fight. I've known Karen for 30 years. She's been fighting this fight in Sacramento. And this is the problem. This is exactly what they said in California, and it's the reason California went from red to blue. I'll tell you this. When I got here to Texas, my first sit-down conversation with Harvey Hildebrand, who was the representative for my district at the time, 11 years ago, because we had a supermajority in the House and a supermajority in the Senate and a Republican governor. And they wouldn't pass any of the Republican Party platform. None of it. Not property tax reform. They came out with this phony thing about, oh, we're going to ban abortion. But they didn't. It didn't ban abortion.
Did they have the votes to ban abortion?
Super majority, Melanie.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Super majority. House and Senate and the governors. Now, listen. Let me tell you what he said. He said, listen, the Democrats one day are going to be in charge. We were the supermajority when he said this. So that's why we give them committee chair positions. We make Democrats committee chairs because then that way, when they're in charge, then they'll be nice with us.
But they won't, though.
Well, they won't be, and that's why, you know,
I think it was when your attorney general was going through the trial, and I read that your chairs were Democrats, and I was like, who does that? That's not the way it works here.
Well, I'm sure that where you are, they are all Democrats because the Democrats control everything.
Of course.
Republican. Let me tell you this too. I don't know if you've seen Ken Paxton's interview with Tucker Carlson.
I've not.
Okay, you should watch that because what he tells is the truth. And here's the thing. The Speaker of the House that we've had, even back when we had the supermajority that we had, the Speaker of the House was the Speaker of the House because he cut a deal with the Democrats. The Democrats always vote in a block, just like they did yesterday. They always vote in a block.
150%. Okay. Absolutely.
And so he made a deal with the Democrats, and then all he needed was about 10 or 12 of the Republicans, even though we had 130 or so of them that were, you know what I'm saying? Okay. But they couldn't get a conservative speaker in power because he voted with the Democrats. Now, in response, and so Ken Paxton's impeachment.
Right.
Was done by Republicans.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Supposed Republicans.
Wow.
The same kind of Republicans, by the way, that stood up in support of McCarthy yesterday. Same ones. Funded by the same people.
Just keep that in mind. I hear exactly what you're saying, and often I have to remind myself that Republicans are not necessarily conservatives. Like, conservatives vote Republican most of the time because that is what most closely aligns to your values, but they're not reciprocal. They're not interchangeable. Well,
the representative, this is the problem. And here's the thing. What I'm saying is, I'll connect you with some of the people that I talked with. I don't know if you know Reverend Clenard Childress, but he's running there in New Jersey. He has the website.
What's he running for? If you recall.
I want to
sound mildly familiar.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Let me see. Reverend.
I was going to go to Professor Google, too.
Yeah.
The name sounds familiar.
Well, blackgenocide.org is his website. And he
I mean, listen.
And he is running General Assembly District 34.
Sure.
Yeah, he's running in General Assembly District 34. Noble Milton is another one that I just had on the show, who is running. And let's see, he is running for New Jersey Assembly. Oh, it's not telling me which one.
I believe only
District 29. He's running for District 29.
We only have 5 seats to flip to get the majority in the assembly.
And then Clyde Cook is running for New Jersey Senate.
Nice.
And then Chris Heiser is running also. Chris and I are the ones that had the debate about how many ways are there to heaven.
Ooh.
Because
I got to go back and listen to that.
Chris is a chaplain who went through chaplaincy school, and in chaplaincy school, they tell you that there are many ways to heaven, and God killed his son, Jesus, because he must be some kind of a pseudo-masochist. Why would you kill your son if there were other paths that could get you there?
Right. The Bible's clear.
Yeah, well, but that's just our interpretation of the Bible, as Chris said.
Yawn. Okay.
Anyway, but back to your point, I respect what you're saying, but here's the thing. We're past the point of allowing, we can't compromise. This is why I couldn't vote for a Chris Christie. Okay?
I was about to bring that up, and I have to kind of be careful.
No. I completely understand what you're talking about. But at the end of the day, here's the bottom line. The United States of America is under the judgment of God right now. Let's be clear. Okay. Right. It's under the judgment of God. If righteous people who know what's right are not willing to forgo all of everything else. And, you know, when they attacked Matt yesterday, that was one of the things that he said. And let me play this piece for you. Because he talks about why they did what they did, but also he talks about them attacking him about fundraising and all of that. Let me just play this piece for you really quick. Take just a couple minutes.
The gentleman from Florida.
My colleague says we've passed the strongest border bills in history. Well, guess what? Look at the border right now. We didn't use sufficient leverage in the debt limit or in any other thing to actually get results on the border. The border is a disaster, really something I don't think you're going to be campaigning on, that you fixed the border. Second, you said you streamlined regulations. What the gentleman from Louisiana doesn't tell you is that all of the regulatory reform he was just bragging about is waivable by the stroke of a pen of someone in the Biden White House. Do you really think you got anything for that? It's a total joke. And then finally, the welfare to work that the gentleman from Louisiana said we got. The welfare programs that they said that they streamlined with their welfare to work stuff, they're actually going to grow. Because while they did work requirements, they blew out those programs with expanded eligibility. I'm real glad you guys didn't put work requirements on Medicaid. It probably would have resulted in Medicaid expansion. And when it comes to how those raise money, I take no lecture on asking patriotic Americans to weigh in and contribute to this fight from those who would grovel and bend knee for the lobbyists and special interests who own our leadership, who have, oh, boo all you want, who have hollowed out this town and have borrowed against the future of our future generations. I'll be happy to fund my political operation through the work of hardworking Americans, $10 and $20 and $30 at a time, and you all keep showing up at the lobbyist fundraisers and see how that goes for you.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. My representative here in Texas, Andrew Murr, has a lobbyist that sits on a sofa in his office with a cell phone that tells him how to vote. I've watched it. I've watched him get the phone call I've watched him walk in. And do you know who's do you know who cannot walk into Andy Murr's office? I'm in his district.
Why can't you walk into his office?
Because they won't allow me to go in there. They block me at the door.
You're a constituent. That's not a thing. I work for elected officials. Let me backtrack. I do know some elected officials who are like that, and I think it is disgusting.
Oh, it
ticks me off.
Well, and Murr was the one who headed the secret committee that met that impeached Ken Paxton. So
now I did miss that part of Matt Gaetz. I was on my way to an event, normally I listen on satellite, but I someone was kind enough to drive, so I wasn't listening to the rest of it. That's a fair point, especially about the money. Like let's not do that. Let's not do that. But what I was going to say about Christie, you know, people will argue, well, you guys did have a conservative governor. You guys had Chris Christie, but I don't know what is actually true and what's not per se. I'm gonna hedge a little bit on this, but the word on the street is that a lot of deals were made, and that is why New Jersey is in the state it's in, even though we had a two-term conservative governor.
Well, here's the thing. Same problem here. Same problem here in Texas. We've been dealing with it for. Listen, I was friends with Cecilia Abbott, and let me just say, I'm sure I met Greg Abbott when I was up there and had testified for the Pastor Protection Act that was to protect pastors so that they would have the ability to speak about things like same-sex marriage from the pulpit, and we got that passed before Elbergfeld, so that passed.
That's not a political issue.
Well, but it has to be, and I'll tell you why. Because they are in other places reaching in to churches and saying we are considered. Well, because here's what they've done: they've politicized that conversation. Same-sex marriage is a political conversation. Period. End of story. They made it a political conversation.
Right. DEI, I was just thinking in terms of them like restricting a pastor from not being able to say what
it's
they
called,
want to say
it's
about.
Called hate speech now.
And this is, I had this conversation with an elected official not 2 or 3 days ago. The same conversation. And I said, it's a slippery slope when we start saying that things are hate speech, because then everything is hate speech.
But everything, that's what the censorship thing is about, Melanie. That's the point. Everything that I speak about, if I say that I am a biblicist and a constitutionalist, which is actually what our founders were, yeah. I am now marked. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you knew this or not, but in the new school curriculum, I just got this from a former school board member who sent it to me. In the new curriculum, they're saying that me saying that I am a biblical constitutionalist makes me a member of the KKK, according to the new history that is being taught in our schools.
Surprised. How shocked would they be to learn that I too am in the KKK, apparently?
All right, hey, we have run out of time. I just want to say thank. No, I know. Hey, great conversation, really good stuff. And we'll continue, because listen, folks, these are the kinds of real conversations that we need to have to be thinking about. And I believe that Melanie's going to be a great representative, and I hope that she wins her race. But if you listen to her as we're talking, she's saying that's a good point. Let me think on that. Let me consider that. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people that we're looking for representation, and then we're looking for people that, as they represent us, are going to take into consideration the arguments that we make as constituents regarding how we want them to represent us. This is the dialogue we need to be having, ladies and gentlemen. This is what America, this is what it's about. This is we the people at work.
Hours about that, because there's a lot there.
Right? All right. Hey, love you, sister. Great having you.
I'll talk so much.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you again next week. And we're going to take our break. Rick Manning joins me, and we'll get his Washington, D.C. Beltway view of the speaker battle coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have CleanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And CleanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. Let me see if I got all that going. Yep, everything's up and running. Needed to make sure I had all the go buttons on, and pretty certain, yes, we do. Okay, we're all set. Let me welcome my guest to the program, Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government. Rick, welcome. Good to have you with me, sir.
Happy to be on. It's a
you know, we had a historic thing happen yesterday, and it's a and I live streamed it for 3 hours while it was happening. So it's interesting to have a little now 12-hour later perspective.
So, you know, my take is I think that it was time. Well, we have got to make a drastic change in the direction that things are going. With regards to the budget situation, as I understand it, there were 12 different items that needed to be brought to the floor and voted on. Two of the 12 were brought before the recess was called. And then when we come back from the recess, now we have a budget crisis. Oh, we've got to get a CR plan. We've got to get a continuing resolution passed. And then what we have seen historically is that the CR turns into, I guess, an omnibus and we know that Biden would sign an omnibus, and basically we're right back where we were, only we're another $2 trillion in debt, and nothing's changed. I showed video earlier this week. Custom and Border Protection is under orders to bring these illegals in. They actually cut the wire that the Department of Public Safety, Texas DPS, had put wire down to block these illegals from coming across the river. And Custom and Border Protection, under orders from Mayorkas and whoever else is calling the shots, told them to cut the wire and bring them on in anyway. I mean, this is there's no stopgap. Period.
Well, you know, one of the challenges here, Greg, is Matt Gaetz stopped a bill that Chip Roy had that was going to force a fight about immigration on the Senate floor. Okay, Matt Gaetz stopped that bill from happening. He stopped the same bill was stopping the increased spending that is happening based on the CR that they passed. It would have stopped that for a period of time until they got a regular fight. But it was so he voted against and actually stopped legislation that would have done something, not much, but something about the budget, and would have dealt with the border. And because he sat there, he said, well, that's not enough. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, that's when you're dealing with a Democrat Senate, a 5-vote majority in the House, you have to sit there and say Scott Perry, the head of the Freedom Caucus, and Chip Roy, no shrinking violet when it comes to the border or fighting to get cuts in the government. Those, if they can do a deal with the left wing of the Republican Party, the House conference, to come up with something that they can pass. Sometimes you have to say you take what you can get now and you fight like crazy to make sure that you get something that come out of the process when the Senate gets done and Biden gets done. But you know, you don't get to dictate to everybody else. Matt Gaetz doesn't get to tell the most left-wing member of the Republican conference how they're going to vote. That's a compromise. That's a deal. That's something you have to work on. Something Chip Roy did. It's something okay. Scott Perry did. Matt right. Gaetz blocked it. So having said that, he was right. He's absolutely right. You wanted my opinion? I'm giving you my opinion. He was absolutely right. Everything he and Bob Good said on the floor about the problems that we have were 100% correct. I agreed with him every single thing he said. I have been disappointed that we haven't done more. We haven't fought harder. And we haven't used the leverage. The leverage that exists in the House to try to get some things done and force the Senate to do some stuff. But maybe a new speaker will be able to do that. But here's what the risk was. The risk was right now, for instance, just as an example, you have no speaker. You have a speaker pro tem, who's one of the more liberal members of the House, by the way, Patrick McHenry. You have a speaker pro tem. It is since the speaker is the one who ordered the impeachment inquiry, and that speaker isn't there anymore, you don't have an impeachment inquiry going on anymore. That's just a fact. And certainly if argued in court, the Biden administration will say, no, we don't have to comply with this. There's no impeachment inquiry. So we're losing the impeachment inquiry until they get a new speaker, and hopefully that new speaker will reinstate it. And yes, they're going to have to do appropriations bills, and it's going to be a fight. And guess what? We're not going to win. We're not going to win all the battles. In fact, we're going to win very few of the battles in those appropriations bills. But we'll have appropriations bills coming up. Kevin McCarthy made a huge mistake, I think, not bringing appropriations bills up in May, June, July, August under regular order. I think he made a massive mistake by not doing that, passing appropriations bills, sending them to the Senate. The Senate, by the way, wouldn't have passed any of those appropriations bills. They might have passed their own and sent them back with more spending, and then we would have been in loggers' heads, and we would have been in a fight, and there wouldn't have been any, and we probably would have been back in the CR anyway. But having said that, Kevin McCarthy did not do his job in getting appropriation bills to the floor. They were all ready to go. The House, the Appropriations Committee had them all prepared, and they sat on the sidelines, and we needed to have a fight on the floor of the House over the direction of the country, send a bill to the Senate, send bills to the Senate, and digestible parts, which is what those appropriations bills do, and then have a fight over that, recognizing that with all that fighting, we were only fighting over 30% of the budget, and the 70% in Social Security and Medicare alone take up almost half of all of our federal spending. And at some point in time, we're going to have to deal with that reality. That is and people aren't going to like that. When you add in the interest payments on the debt, along with those with Social Security and Medicare, you got 46% of the spending that goes on in this country. So at some point, we're going to have to deal with the reality of Medicare and Social Security and what's going on. And that is because that's what's overwhelming our budget. That's what's overwhelming us. Congress is fighting over 30 cents on a dollar is what they're fighting over right now. And we're not going to solve the budget problem fighting over 30 cents on the dollar. And quite honestly, most of the listeners of this program, most people who are over 65, are going to sit there and not want anything to happen to Social Security that changes the dynamic we're in. And it's a sad reality, but we paid into it, and I'm in that category. I don't take Social Security, but I'm in that category being old enough to. Mm-hmm. We paid into it my whole life since I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. I've paid in Social Security. And and there's a promise that's made. You're going to get this much money. And I guarantee you that at some point in the next 15 years, they're going to break that promise. The government's going to break that promise. And the reason they're going to break that promise is because they don't have any choice. Because the promise was too extravagant for the amount of money that was paid in. There's a lot of ways to fix it, to try to fix it. But you can't get over the demographic problem that we only have two people working for every one person who's retired. Who's a beneficiary. That's a really, really hard problem to overcome. So given that, he was right. Matt Gaetz, absolutely right. We got big problems. We need to deal with them. We have to deal with them as adults. We have to have honest discussions. But I think that the reality is he submarined the CR bill, the continuing resolution, because he wanted to have a motion to vacate, because his real goal was to get rid of McCarthy. And he did, and all this other stuff was a subtext. And I'm glad we're having the discussion. Maybe we get a leak. Maybe we get a speaker can deal with it better. And maybe we end up with a bipartisan speaker who works across the aisle. And you have, as McCarthy rejected, he had Democrats coming to him and say, let's work across the aisle and just cut those guys out. And he said, I can't do that. I'm a Republican. We brought a Republican majority here. But that doesn't mean others can't. If they reached out to McCarthy.
Hold on. But here's Rick. I get it, and I know you've been in the D.C. arena for a long time. I respect all that, but I know what happened that flipped California, And I know what I'm watching happen and have watched for the last 10, 11 years since I've been back in Texas. And this constant compromise. You're never going to get anything out of that, Rick. Ever. It continues to deteriorate. You never stop the bleeding.
Well,
ever.
How do you get? Okay. Well, that's. I agree with you. The question is, who's compromising?
Well, and so here's.
Let me just talk
for 10 minutes.
I know, but you asked me a statement. Unless we compromise, I agree. We have to fight on principles. The objective of what I'm talking about is to take things that they want and cut the things they want and really cut the size and scope of government in a whole variety of ways. And in doing that, you shrink the government, and if I can only shrink the government 5% rather than 10%, that's a compromise I'll do. If I'm compromising to say the government's only going to grow 50% rather than 60%, that's not a compromise. So let's just be clear what we're talking about when we're talking about compromise.
Okay. What I'm talking about, though, listen, hold on. Let me say what I'm going to say. What I'm talking about is that the situation needs to be more transparent. If the average American knew, you've talked about that, well, the largest chunk of this is being spent on Social Security and Medicaid. I've looked at some of these numbers in the past.
Medicare.
I've looked at some of these numbers in the past. Yes, that's a part of this equation. But that's not the whole enchilada we're talking about here. And if you went a line item by line item and we dissected where they're spending millions of dollars, and millions add up, millions and billions all start to add up towards the gross amount. There is a ton of wasted money that is being spent on experimental projects and all kinds of other junk and garbage that if the American citizen looked at and saw where their tax dollars were going, they would be like, no, I don't want you spending money on that. I don't want you spending money to experiment in a laboratory with rats to determine whether or not cutting off certain organs and harvesting this and harvesting that is going to somehow, impact my kid. I don't want you touching my child. Stop what you're doing. The crap that Fauci got away with, the hundreds of millions of dollars that they used to create biological weapons that they then handed over to our enemies to use against us. What I'm saying, and I think what Matt Gaetz is saying is the American people deserve to know what you're doing behind closed doors with their money.
No, I agree. I think it isn't what he said, but I agree with that premise. And I agree with the idea that the American people would be aghast at what their money's spent on, a lot of their money spent on. But I also know that a $2.2 trillion deficit, $2.2 trillion deficit is so large that you cannot get there by cutting things like foreign aid and things like that, which are extraordinarily small percentage of our budget. Our budget is spent on healthcare, it's spent on social security, and you put healthcare, social security, defense into one big pile. And then the big, the $600 billion, $750 billion we spent on interest payments on the debt. We spent our money on old people programs, health care, and interest payments on the debt. That's what we spend our money on.
Okay?
And I will tell you right now, hold on, I will tell you right now, there is massive fraud in the health care piece of this.
Thank you.
Massive fraud.
Thank you.
Okay, and yes. there are things we, I'm working on a project right now that deals with this, dealing with the Social Security Disability Program. Okay. And some fraud that California actually is trying to got a waiver from the Biden administration to allow California to not enforce any income limits for eligibility for the SSDI program. Essentially, now it's about $500 million of annual costs that shouldn't exist that to the federal taxpayer. It's another $500 million to the California taxpayer, but it's something which is stoppable. The Biden administration agreed to it, and we're going to stop it. We're not going to allow it to them to win. But that's $500 million. That's so much money. It's unimaginable amount of money. Okay, that's more money than you'll take away if you win the lottery, the Powerball, at the end, after taxes and everything else. Mm-hmm. More money than that in one little program, with one little decision by one little governor. We can stop that. And yes, maybe we need to spend a full year doing nothing but going over every single expenditure and forcing them to defend it. And that includes the Defense Department. And forcing them to defend it. And I think if we did that, we could cut the budget by 30%. We could get rid of 25 to 30% of the public employees, and we can get rid of, because of what the Supreme Court's done, we can get rid of 35 to 40% of the regulatory regulations that exist that don't have legislative underpinning. Mm-hmm. That's what Congress should spend 2 years doing. And the problem is Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer don't agree. Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer control about 80 votes in the Senate out of 100. Including in Texas, John Cornyn. Mm-hmm. So when you only control 20 votes in the Senate and you only control about 60 to 70 votes in the House for that kind of activity, for doing something real, if you can get something, you get something. And I think what Chip Roy proposed was an opportunity. We had a lost opportunity to get a real fight on the border about it in the Senate, force a fight, force a discussion with Joe Biden on his border policy, shut down the government over his border policy, which we win on, and destroy their border policy because the politics would shift our side and we'd win. That was the fight that was set up. That's the fight that Matt Gaetz negated. And that's the cost of getting rid of McCarthy. I agree with all the problems. I fight this every day. It drives me nuts that we don't have the votes.
Well, the fact is
we don't have the votes.
And part of the reason that we don't have the votes is because the American people are not made aware of the truth. They don't know the truth. The average American, and this is by design, but the average American is barely keeping their head above water. Mm-hmm. and spends all day, every day, getting up in the morning and going out and trying to make sure that they, you know, keep a job and are able to either, you know, and now even the house payment side. I mean, you know, home ownership has dropped drastically, which is horrific. But then they are flooded with all kinds of entertainment, and their kids are being manipulated and indoctrinated at schools. I mean it's a whole program.
Yes,
that is being used in order to put the American public and we the people to sleep. So they either don't have the time or don't have the energy to be engaged and have even a cursory understanding of what's taking place. And, you know, we talk about the distrust. And on the one hand, I think one of the guests that I had on earlier this week was like, you know, 74% of the population is saying they disagree with the direction that we're going. And that's probably true. But then you have to peel that back and figure out of that 74%, because my guess is there's probably at least four or five different directions that 75% are thinking about. So now you've got 15% pockets. You see what I'm saying?
No, it's absolutely right.
And that's the problem.
Well, that is a problem. Let me just, go on that, because I think you're right. The Cloward Piven thing is to basically overwhelm the system, okay? Put so many problems out that the system gets overwhelmed. People don't know how to deal with it. And consequently, they basically just, okay, I assume somebody else knows how to deal with it. And they just accept whatever they're given. That's what the attempt of, that's what's being done. Mm-hmm. That's what we're experiencing.
Yep.
And so we have parents rightfully saying, the most important thing is they're messing up my kids in school, and they're trying to turn my little boy into a little girl, my little girl into a little boy. That's the most important thing, and it is the most important thing. And so if I'm going to get an amendment onto something, and I have to choose between 10% cut or an amendment to stop that, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So we have – that is exactly – you've pinpointed the exact problem. The people in the House and the Senate are cut up into little slices in terms of what they're going to fight about. What I've argued is, going forward, they need to focus. The Republicans need to rally around three things in Congress. Three things: opposing Biden, AB, opposing the budget, trying to begin the process to get that under control, and the border. Biden, border, budget. Focus on those three things. And you can fight about everything else, but those three things, get something done on those three things, because that encapsulates the election in 2024. And if you encapsulate the election in 2024, we will win the election in 2024.
Repeat those three things again, Rick.
It's Biden. You have to focus on Biden.
Yeah.
The budget and the border.
Yeah, I agree. Well, yeah, and I think the Dems are losing on all three of those. If again, that goes back to what I said. If the American people understand how the dollar fight and how these monies are being spent. When you unpack, the problem is, for example, when you unpack, and we're at the very end of our time, Rick, and thank, this has been a great conversation, by the way. And I hope people are really listening, because this is, I so enjoy, Rick brings such depth and insight to these conversations because of how long he's been doing this, because of how plugged in he is, because of all the things that he's involved in and engaged in. And he truly is an American hero, and I really appreciate him tremendously. You're so kind. Tremendously.
What I like is we can yell at each other and still be friends. It's great.
And maybe come away having given each other things to think about. You know what I'm Absolutely. Saying? Which is the most important thing, right? I mean, scripture tells us that we're supposed to, lean on each other's thoughts and counsels. And I glean great stuff from you. And I hope occasionally you glean one or two things from me.
All the time.
So it's a mutual thing. And folks, this is what's so critically important. Just like the conversation I just had with Melanie Collette, where we went back and forth about and presented opinions and thoughts and so on. This is the kind of conversation, this is what America's founded on, is us being able to bounce these things back and forth and then come to the table with solutions that work. God bless you, Rick. Thanks. GetLiberty.org. Check out the site. GetLiberty.org. My dear friend, Rick Manning. I'll be back with more. Hour number three coming up. We'll talk about fake news, censorship, and then JFK, new information about JFK, an 88-year-old man who was there, who said he's the one that placed the bullet on the gurney that is supposedly the single bullet. We'll talk about it coming up. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.